Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for being in our lives, for bringing us to this place in our lives today, where we stand before you, seeking a word, seeking a path, seeking a journey to draw closer to you this Lent and on this day. And so, Lord, we pray that as the message is proclaimed, that you would speak to us, that you would lead us, that you would empower us, that you would remind us of why it is that we even pray, and that you would lead us on a journey closer to draw closer to you in this time. We thank you, Lord, we praise you, and we ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, we enter into a time of prayer for the next few weeks. And of course, this is the first Sunday of Lent. And as we enter into this time of prayer, we enter into a time of reflection. As I spoke about on Ash Wednesday, we're on an inward journey to draw closer to God. Or we seek God in all things, where we seek God in and for our lives because we live and breathe in God. And God is in us. And so we don't have to journey to some far-off place to find God, but inside of us, for God is leading us through the wilderness of our lives. One of the ways that we can do this is through prayer. And that's what we're going to be talking about throughout the series, throughout Lent, leading up to Palm Sunday and Easter and Holy Week. But this first week, I felt the need to start with the most basic question. Why do we pray? I think it's a question that we often overlook. It's something that we don't think about often. I think it's something that that we kind of take for granted sometimes. And it's hard to articulate why we pray. In fact, some of you may be thinking, that's a stupid question, Pastor Chris. Why do we pray? Come on, why wouldn't we pray? But maybe some of you are asking this very question, why do we pray? It doesn't seem to change things sometimes. And so today in our scriptures, we look at Psalm 4 and James chapter 5 and selections in it. If we look at Psalm 4, on the outside verses, we see a prayer for peace. And on the inside, we see the writer, probably David, is being persecuted. On the interior verses, he's being persecuted. People are coming after him. And so in the beginning and the end, he's praying for this peace. And as you get to the end of the passage, he's just resting in the peace. He says that he will rest in God's peace, saying essentially that he believes that God has already done it and that he's going to rest in it. This is prayer. In the James passage, we see the writer, probably James, the brother of Jesus, writing to the new Christians, possibly Jewish converts, about prayer. In that passage, he says, if any of you are in trouble, pray. If any of you are happy, sing songs of praise. Pray again. If any of you is sick, have the elders come and anoint you with oil and pray over you. Do you sense a theme there? In everything, pray. Pray. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful, James says. And he then goes on to give an example of Elijah, who was a man, and when he prayed for it not to rain, it didn't rain. And then when he did, after 3 years, and he prayed for the rain to come, it rained. Reminding all of us that we're just men and women, created in God's image, and that it is in us that the power comes through, but it is in the one to whom we pray. And so with all of that background,
that great background, why do we pray? The core of this answer is because our Lord prayed. The core of this answer is that God calls us into relationship through prayer. And Jesus, the Christ, he prayed all throughout the Gospels, and he gives us some examples of that. And so the first reason we pray is because Jesus prayed. And we can see this in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, where he wakes up early and goes to pray by himself. We can see this in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, where he went out and prayed on the mountainside by himself. He prays for Simon's soul in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. And we're told in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. And so Jesus prayed. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we're called to be like him in every way. And so we pray, one, because Jesus prayed. He's the template for us. He is the one that we are to follow. Jesus prayed, and so that is one reason why we pray as his followers. But we might wonder, do we have to pray? A second reason why we pray is because not only did Jesus pray, we know that Jesus prayed from these passages, and we know, we believe that Jesus prayed the Psalms and understood the Scripture and used them as prayers throughout his life. He also gave us a template for prayer. Remember the Lord's Prayer? He expected his followers to pray then, since he gave us a template. He prayed, and when he prayed, miracles occurred. Demons were cast out. The feeding of the 5,000, they're fed. After he lifted his head and prayed thanksgiving over the small amount of food that he had been given, he had been praying in solitude all night before he walked on water. And so he showed us how to pray. He didn't just do it. He showed us how to pray. And the template for his prayer is that Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. And just a reminder, the Lord's Prayer isn't about just me. We don't say, Father, forgive me. We say, forgive us. Right? And so Jesus not only prayed, he showed us how to pray. And therefore, we are all expected to pray, not just for ourselves, but for others as well. It's an expectation of a Christian to pray. I know she's having fun over there. She's excited. And finally, we pray because prayer changes things. This is important. It changes us. It changes the world around us. I consulted one of my friends at seminary this week, Don Smith, who was my roommate the first year I was there, on the night that I spent down there. And he had actually written a paper on prayer. And the paper was about 21 pages. So I was thankful to go to him and use his resources that he put together. And I told him, I'd give him credit, so here I am if you're listening, Don. But one of the people that he quoted was Soren Kierkegaard. Kierkegaard was a 19th century philosopher and theologian. And what he said about prayer is interesting. He says, prayer doesn't change God, but changes the one who offers it. Prayer doesn't change God, but changes the one who offers it. Now, there are some scriptural references to where prayer might have possibly changed God's mind on things. Like when Moses interceded for the Israelites before God. See, they had been worshiping this idol down on the bottom while Moses was getting all of the commandments up on Mount Sinai. And so God was prepared to just destroy them all, but Moses interceded for them, asking God not to do that. And God didn't. Now this isn't to say that God changes. God doesn't change.
But it is to say, in some way, some mysterious way, the prayer is powerful. The prayer is powerful. And so we can't miss the point in all of this. And this is our scripture for the year. The prayer is powerful. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us, changes those whom we love. Prayer changes situations. And prayer is powerful. Miracles happen out of prayer. And I'm sure that miracles happen when people aren't praying too, because God is a good God. But we all have heard stories of people receiving vision after being blind, of being brought back to life after seemingly being dead for minutes or even hours, medically dead and they're brought back to life, or the cancer completely disappearing from the body. And so these miracles, they happen. And prayer is a facilitator of these miracles. And so we pray to answer the question because Jesus prayed. And we, as Christians, follow him and imitate his life. We pray because Jesus showed us how to pray and expected his followers to pray. He didn't just pray and then leave it for us to decide if we should pray or not. No, he showed us exactly how to pray. And then out of that prayer, we pray because we expect prayer to be powerful. Because lives are changed and the world is changed through our prayers. And so as we begin this Lent, let's not forget the prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful, and sure, there are times. And I've spoken to multiple people in the last few weeks that are going through a lot of stuff, to where they've been praying and the answers, they don't seem to come. The answers don't seem to come, and I get that. I think many of us can relate to that. I wrestle over that. And we're going to talk about that in particular later on in the series. But one thing I know and want you to hold on to is in the midst of those prayers, in the midst of all of that, of hearing and not hearing, but God always hears us, is that God is with us. That God is for us, that he sent his Son to live and to die and to be resurrected for you and for me. And we cannot ever let go of that as we pray. And that he gave us prayer, which is a direct line to God through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, to change things. He gave this tool to us in a spiritual toolkit. And it's a powerful tool that changes the world around us. It changes ourselves. It changes others. And so when we pray, we open ourselves up to God's will and to God's direction and to God's kingdom that is here and now and is yet to come. Jesus said, if you knock on the door, it will be opened for you. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, the writer writes, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And so our prayers to God, they aren't just requests like that of a genie. They aren't just like that. It isn't a simple, I ask and you give me what I want. It isn't like that. Ultimately, when we pray, our most perfect prayers are saying that we're trusting in God, that we show that we trust in God. And we're saying, let your will be done, Lord. God's will is not our will. I've found this many times in my life, and sometimes we just, as hard as it is, we just have to trust. We just have to trust that our prayers, that God will answer our prayers in God's will. And that will might be different than our own, but that ultimately we're trusting in God and God's will, and that God knows better than us. And I know that this statement might not always be comforting, but it is the truth. And sometimes we're called to just believe, to trust, or at least, the very least, to want to believe. And prayer allows us to do that. And so this week, as we journey further into Lent, I invite you again, to sign up for the Bible study. It's in the back. We're going to be talking about prayer there, but we're going to keep talking about prayer here too in the weeks to come. And the best way to deal with this topic of prayer is to pray about it. And I've been praying a lot about it. It's hard to put into words sometimes, prayer. It's hard to put into words. And so I urge you, this Lent, to set aside time for prayer. To commit to some level of prayer throughout this Lent and beyond. But it's set aside time, not just through the day. That's great. But to set aside time, whether it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it is, set aside that time that you would commit to praying for each other, for the church, for all of the leaders here at Orms, including Ben and I and Vicky, for all the leaders of the church. We need your prayers. And so we ask that throughout Lent that you keep your church in mind, that you keep our church in mind in your prayers. Corrie ten Boom said, "Don't pray when you feel like it. Have an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man, and I will add, or a woman, is powerful on his or her knees. So make an appointment. Pray because Jesus did. Pray because he expected his followers to pray. And because prayer is powerful." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your love for each of us, and we thank you for prayer and the gift that it is. Lord, never let us forget how important it is, how powerful it is, and how life-giving it is to not just the one who prays, but the one who receives the prayer. Lord, guide us in your Spirit to know your will, so that our prayers might be in it. And show us how to pray and who to pray for. Put that and them on our hearts. We thank you, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.